What's up, y'all? You tuned in, to Queenside, yeah, with your host, who? Giselle, the queen, better know it. Hey, you're now rocking with Giselle the queen. Yeah. Got the wisdom of the elder, still connects with the team. Watch it keep the attention of everyone else in between. Needless to say, hey, she's doing a thing. Better believe it, baby.
She's gonna make you feel loved if you all alone. If you wanna ask a question, dial her up on the phone.
Okay.
All the men, they respect her. All the females dream to be a woman just like her. She's Giselle the queen.
Talk about it.
She's all about the community. And all she wants to do is see a little unity. She's trying to make a better world out there for you and me.
Okay.
And this is how I reply when they ask me who is she.
Queenside.
Giselle.
Queenside.
The queen.
Queenside.
You're now rocking with the best, ha.
Queenside.
Giselle.
Queenside.
The queen. Now rocking with the best. Hey.
Hello, world. Hello. This is your girl, Giselle, right here on Queenside with Giselle. Today, of course, you know what today is. It is Thursday, June the 30th, last day of the month. And we have a very exciting show for you guys tonight. We have author Sean, right? With his artist, the male, the sex beast, that's what she called herself, y'all, the sex beast, rap artist, singer, multi-talented artist, Melody Weaver. Y'all, it's been an amazing week for your girl. Like, all week long, I have been getting nothing but emails of castings and so many opportunities that are paid, and I'm just like, wow. Like, I mean, this week has been super, super, super crazy. At the end of the show, I'm going to tell you guys where I'm going to be. I'm going to be in some places that I didn't think that I would be, but it's going to be bananas, y'all. But we're going to go ahead and get the show rolling, because you already know it is absolute power hour, 1 hour, full pack, nothing but craziness that's going to go on. So we're going to go ahead and bring on, I guess. Sean, are you there?
Giselle, can you hear me?
I can hear you very clearly.
What's going on? Long time no see.
I know. Last time I saw you was your birthday party. You were super smashed. And I probably had a little something to do with that.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. When my birthday party is a total blur, right? And I'm gonna be honest, like, y'all was passing me drinks so much, and I think you gave me a gift bag with a bunch of liquor in it. I don't remember anything about that night, but you know, I thank God that like all my friends and loved ones was there, and I think Portia from Real Housewives of Atlanta was there.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And it was so dope that just so many people just came out to support and show love. Like, our VIP section was lit, and everybody came bearing gifts, and I just had so many bags and bottles of liquor. I'm surprised they let y'all get them in the club, but in any event, you know, for you to come out and show me love after we only met once when we were both, well, no, I was a judge at the fashion show, and you were walking. Am I correct?
Yeah. That's,
you know what,
correct.
I mean? And for you to come all the way from Alabama after that one meeting and still show me love for my birthday party, man, Giselle, I can never thank you enough. Like, you were one person I didn't expect, not because we don't have a common love for one another, but because you don't live here in Atlanta. Like, you came from Alabama to hold me down, and I respect that. I love that always.
Right, man. You know, it's always all love. You're super cool, dude. I had an awesome time at the casting. I met Melody at the casting too. Melody was there, a beautiful girl. I'm sorry, she was like, I was like, oh my goodness, like intimidatingly beautiful young lady, very sweet spirit though. It was just all love, just partying and all love, and you were just like, oh, we had to take some crazy pictures. Like, everybody's like, Sean drunk as hell. Like, he's drunk as fuck. Do we have Mel online yet? Is Melody here yet?
She should be online, Mel. You. There she goes.
Hello, Melody. Welcome to Queen Size, baby.
Thank you.
Oh, no, you can't come on here being shy now. You're going to have to.
Hold on. Let everybody know, like, this is Melody's first, like, interview. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's done spot dates here and there, but, you know, besides the spot dates, like, this is, like, her breakthrough interview. So you really getting, like, an exclusive, Giselle, because you're family.
Y'all remember who gets them first. They come through here. They have to come through here. All love. I'm glad to have you here. I'm going to take it easy on you, Melody. I'm going to take it very easy on you. But then I want you to bring it. I want to hear what you working with. All
right.
So what we're going to do is we're going to start off with a little segment. At the beginning of my show, always have something fun going on, something to talk about when we have, you know, like shows going on, guests, just something to laugh, have a good time, relax, unwind. So this segment we're going to call is Petty Betty. Okay, everybody knows what a Petty Betty is. Petty Betty is like somebody that's extra petty about it and every single thing. So I'm going to throw out some topics to you, just some random stuff. So y'all got to be like on it. I'm going to throw out some topics to you, and I want you guys just to tell me how you feel about it, because I know you got to be petty.
But
you
got
to be petty.
But Giselle, so you know I'm not going to bite my tongue, right?
Hey, that's what I want you to do. That's exactly what I want you to do. You got to come with it just like that. I want you to come with it just like that. I mean, we're only sisters, so don't worry about, you know, somebody viewing you out or anything like that. No, you're good. Say how you feel what you say, and we're going to get it popping. Y'all ready?
I'm ready.
Yeah. Okay, first thing is balls or no balls bathrooms. Sean.
I believe, as far as this whole, first of all, you got to say this now. I don't have nothing against gays or transgenders, right? However, for the safety of my children and children, you know, you can't just say because I want to be a woman today, I'm going to go in a woman's bathroom. Because what's to stop the perverts from saying, oh, yeah, this is who I am? You know what I'm saying? So whatever you were born with, that's the bathroom you should go into. You know what I'm saying? Cause, I mean, my kids are grown, but I have a goddaughter who's a teenager, a young teenager. You know what I'm saying? I have friends that have young daughters, and I don't want some perv going in there just because he can say, I identify as a transgender, I'm going to go into the woman's bathroom. Like, you opening up a whole Pandora's box that I'm not really feeling. So, nah, just because, I mean, If you was born with a, you know what I mean? You stick with, you know what I mean? Because
Man, what you think about that?
I'm kind of on the fence about it, because it's like sometimes I go to the, you know, the ladies' bathroom when I'm just trying to escape, you know, a guy I don't really want to talk to. So, I don't know. But
balls and no balls. This is how I feel. I'm going to tell you how Queen feel now. I hold no punches. First of all, you said, well, now you got to say this. I don't have anything. Why do people do that? Like, you always come with this disclaimer, like, before I say this fucked up shit I'm going to say, I want you to know I don't have anything against you. but, you know, this is how I feel about the shit you're doing. I don't know why we do that. Everybody does it, though. Everybody does it. Like, you know, hey, you know, you cool, but
because,
I don't fuck with you.
Because, Giselle, listen, I'm going to tell you why I do that. Like, I learned a long time ago. Like, I've been in the game for a long time. I learned a long time ago that you have to, when you're in a position like I am, you got to put a disclaimer out there. Because, you know what, somebody, you got, how many listeners? 2 million, 3 million listeners? Like, you up there,
no,
right?
No, we have 5.7.
I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to downplay you. I didn't remember the number.
Put some respect on our station.
I'm putting some respect on your shit. I'm putting some respect on it. But that's even worse. That's worse, but it's better. So I don't want somebody going, Oh, I got to put a disclaimer out there because I don't want somebody misconstruing on, oh, he don't rock with transgenders or gays. I was nothing against them. So I have to put a person in my position has to put that disclaimer out there. You know what I'm saying? Because I have a lot of fans, whether they be gay, straight, transgender, whatever. You know what I'm saying? But my view on it is just because you wake up today and you say, you know, you're a man and you say, I'm going to put on women's clothes, don't mean you get to go into a woman's bathroom. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
because
if you got balls, go to the men's. If you don't got balls, go to the women's.
This is what I'm saying. This is
it's
what I'm
simple,
saying
right?
Because if I'm a pervert, what's to stop me from going into a Red Lobster and saying, you know what? You know, instead of Sean, I'm Shantae because I want to go and I want to look at everybody who's in the female's bathroom. You can't. They can't let that law pass. You know, I mean, we're giving y'all enough.
I can kind of see you doing that. I can kind of
see you
doing
that. No, you can't see you doing that.
You know. But let me tell y'all about Atlanta, though. Let me tell y'all, I know Atlanta's like the open, free, crazy place. So the next topic, stripper interviews. It was like, what, 20 million strippers that came out of nowhere? Everybody that wanted
no,
to be a stripper, that wanted to be a stripper.
Listen,
I saw the video, Sean. They just like lined up. I saw the video. You cannot tell me I saw the video footage. They was lined up. I mean, they, a whole ballroom full of strip hoes. Just full.
But it was at the Marriott, Giselle. Here's the thing. You know stripping is to
a
whole nother. Listen, you know stripping is to a whole nother level when they have a job fair for it at the Marriott. Marriott? Yeah.
Oh, that makes it
when they have it at the Marriott?
It makes it corporate job.
Whenever a strip club has a job fair at the Marriott, that ain't no, I'm not going to name the hole in the walls here in Atlanta, but when a strip club have a goddamn job fair and they only want 100 people and 2,000 people show up, I'm in the wrong business.
Toledo. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I've just never been holding in a while. Now, ask me how I know about them, but, you know, hey. Bill, what you got to say about Melody? What do you have to say about that, about strippers and interviews? I didn't know strippers had to have an interview, but okay.
I mean, they got to make sure they qualify, so, yeah.
Who'd be qualified?
Body type, personality type. Like me, I know if I went to a stripper interview, I'm not getting a job. They gonna censor them. They gonna be like, you know what? This ain't cut out for you. So, but he ain't got an interview. They gotta know what they dealing with.
Whoa!
But see, I disagree. Listen, Melody is my artist, right? And I love her to death. Here's why I disagree. It's not that Melody won't get the job because she's beautiful. She can dance, sing, rap. She makes furniture for y'all who don't know. And her own clothes. It's not that Melody won't get the job. Number one, she won't apply for it. And even if somebody asks her, she won't accept it. So she's lying when she says she won't get the job. She's totally lying. Sorry. Go on with the interview.
Y'all Google it. Y'all didn't see me on Instagram, honey. It pops completely out. And social media, going live. I know y'all got something to say about people going live. Melody.
You said people going what? Going live?
Live. Yeah, going live on Facebook.
Oh, that's cool. It's like Facebook just, they add all this different stuff because they trying to compete with every other app. So I think Facebook added to go live when Snapchat started popping. So they like, you know, they gotta stay fresh with it.
Sean, what you think about that?
I mean, as far as people going live, like, I mean, I'm a tiny, tiny bit older, but I'm still connected. You know what I mean? I'm in an era where somebody just convinced me to get a Snapchat, and I don't know how to use it. So, and when I learned how to use it, I think it's dumb. Because it's not something that stays up there like you get 24 hours or some shit like that. Yeah, Snapchat's just using up megabytes in my phone because I don't use it. It's stupid to me. It's more for a certain demographic. But as far as people going live, like, okay, Mel was with me the other night at the Atlanta Hawks draft party, right? It was a VIP party. And I tried to go live on Facebook. I didn't try. I did go live on Facebook. But it showed me in a bad light. Like, my goddaughter just told me, like, you played yourself. You know what I'm saying? I was so drunk. And you can't take that back.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, yeah, it's me, live, blah, blah, blah. Now, mind you, I mean, I was so lit, I didn't see it until, like, after I'd done it. And that's something you can't take back. So my point is, to your question, if you're gonna go live, two things. Make sure you're on point. And make sure you don't get shot, because a lot of people going live and getting shot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
you
like in the past month.
You
like,
see people getting shot going live?
Yeah, like people being killed live.
And like that? Like shot?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Like, yo, this is so-and-so, niggas told me I can't come on this block, and blah, 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 and next thing you know, the phone drop, and I mean, you hear gunshots, phone drop. Like,
they get lit up.
Yeah, they get lit up right there live.
Y'all better stop going live. Let me tell y'all about going live. This is how I feel about it. I think going live is a good part. It's a good integral part of Facebook where you can kind of see what's going on with people, what they got going, et cetera, et cetera. But my whole thing is don't go live and you ain't got shit to show. That's what pissed me off. I took out my time to click on this shit, and I'm still watching it for 13 damn minutes, and ain't nothing happened with those 10 minutes with your ass on here rambling about some bullshit. You say you got an event. You say you're going to do this. You say people lined up, but then you don't see nobody but your ass and two other motherfuckers. I don't understand that. What are you going to live for? Motherfucker, you need to go pigeon.
No, I don't like the live notifications on my phone. Like, Mushika is not, like, I got 5,000 followers. No, I'm sorry. I got 8,000 followers. And they'll be like, oh, Shaniqua is live. Now, if I just happen to click on Shaniqua and she in the car singing a Future record, what the fuck is you going live for? that's my...
Right,
like, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Who wants to see this? I don't.
Like, why are you going live? You know what I'm saying? I go live when I'm at an event. You know what I'm saying? Or I go live if I'm sitting in front of my computer and I'm working and I just want to connect with my viewers or my fans, my followers. But to round this segment off, if you're going to go live, make it worthwhile. Don't make me stop what I'm doing to look at some corny shit.
And not everything is some corny shit. Corny. Speaking of cornballs, New York Dick, what you got to say about it? Can I get some cookies? I think they just need to, like, disband. Y'all remember, what was that movie with, it was a comedy about them being in the, they were, like, basketball players or something. Oh, man, what is the name of that movie? With Will Ferrell. Somebody, please give me that. That movie with Will Ferrell. It was like on this basketball team or whatever. Man, Nick, give it up. It's over with. I mean, y'all have only one fan, and he is out there faithfully. Only one. What you got to say about the Nick?
Hmm? My thing is this. It's so many different ways you can go with so many different things, and everybody has a difference of opinion. You know what I mean? And I've learned, not today, but yesterday, your opinion will, like, totally fuck somebody's day up. And I hate to reference this person, but The first person I ever heard say this was NeNe Leakes. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to NeNe. A hit dog will holler.
Oh, that's an old song. That's from the South. But
I'm from Queens, so I never heard that shit before. So when I heard it.
But do you know what that means?
I do know what it means. Like, if I'm talking about you, if I'm talking about something and you find it offensive, maybe I'm
talking about you.
Right. You know what I mean? So, you know what I mean? No, I'm joking. But,
That is the truth. Do y'all think the NBA is rigged? There's been a lot of controversy, you know, the Curry.
Oh, God. They've
been hollering that the NBA is
rigged.
What's he? Yeah.
No, the NBA ain't rigged. My fucking team been losing for 17 years. Listen, I'm a New York Knicks fan. I was born in blue and orange. I'm going to die in blue and orange. No time soon, hopefully.
You and Spike Lee.
Me and Spike Lee. But is the NBA rigged? It depends on what level it is. Can games be manipulated? Yes. Is it rigged? No. And I'm going to tell you why I don't think it's rigged. That means you got to get over 1,000 people to say, this is what we're going to do this year, and you guys have to stick to it. It's a screenplay. This year we want LeBron to win. So from start to finish, here's what you guys have to do. Atlanta, you guys have to throw this game. Golden State, you guys have to win this game by so much. Is it politics? Yes, because there's dollars involved. But is it to the point where it's a secret fraternity? No. I'm going to tell you who wins and loses the games. You don't have to have everybody involved. All you need is the referees.
Wow. That's true.
You don't need LeBron to score 5 instead of 50. You don't need Steph Curry to score 30 instead of 3. All you need is the refs to call the right plays at the right time and blow the whistle at the right time. It's the turning point of the game. Or not. When you watch an NBA game, you're like, oh, my God, the refs are just letting them play.
There's too many people that's calling plays or playing games these days. We got, like, we're going to do our last one for Petty Betty. Kevin Gates, holy and married. He said he's holy and married. I was confused. I was like, what? Holy and married? Okay.
I don't know if there's such thing as that. Marriage is, I don't know. I've been married.
Yeah, well, he said he was holy and married, or like some chick was trying to touch him or whatever. DJ Tracy was trying to touch him. And he was like, oh, I'm holy and married. Don't touch me. But then he was all hugged up. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was somebody else. And like being extra fancy, so everybody was like, what the fuck going on with Gates? Like every time you turn around, he's switching up, he's doing something different, he's saying something,
Jazzy.
He's contradicting himself. I'm like, I've been told y'all this dude is a flake, but okay.
Listen, I respect Kevin Gates because I've listened to one of his interviews. He's very, very intelligent. And him and I have a lot of the same views. Like, he's been with the woman he loved forever. You know what I'm saying? They've been with each other for years. However, the whole thing about sleeping with his first cousin and thinking it's okay because it is what it is, I ain't with that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm not with that. His music is dope. His views, up until I don't care if I sleep with my family members, I don't rock with that. But I never respected Kevin Gates. I'm not going to say I never respected him. I never knew about Kevin Gates, so I watched him on The Breakfast Club. And I love – anybody who knows me, I love documentaries, and I love watching interviews. And when I heard Kevin Gates' interview, the first time I ever heard him speak, it was so powerful because me and him have a lot of the same views. Like, him and his wife have been together or been in each other's lives for years. You know what I mean? And she accepts the good with the bad and blah, 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 this, that, and the third. there's a mantra that I live by, like, your best friend can be your wife. It's supposed to be. But when I heard what he did, when I heard what he does for a living and how she rocks with him, I'm like, damn, that's a little bit over the top. But it still falls on the same umbrella as, you know, that's your ride or die. Now, the fact that she, you know, gives two thumbs up to him sleeping with his cousin, I can't rock with that. But I don't knock him for it. What you do is what you do.
It's nothing she could do about it. It's after the fact. He's already in the step with her. What could she say?
But
don't
Kevin
do it again?
Said that, no. Here's the thing. I've been in situations where, like, I'm not gonna mention no names. There is somebody out there right now who is just as equal, if not more, than a celebrity than I am. Right? And it's a female, and her and I touch bases, and she called me cuz all the time, and cuz we got to hook up, and blah, blah, blah. We never met face to face. Now, if I would have met her prior to digging through the roots and finding out that we actually are related, something could have went down. But, I'm not going to say a name. Don't try to drag it on me. I will never. There's no way possible at this point in time, because I know that her and I even have a third of blood run through each other's veins. I can't. I won't do it.
Wow.
She's bad,
that's
but
good.
I can't do it. But that's an up-north thing. I'm South Jamaican, Queens, born and bred, so niggas in Queens don't sleep with their cousins. But
so I heard. Okay. Well, I'm glad that you won't sleep with your cousin. That's a thumbs up for me. Y'all are listening to author Sean Wright with his artist Melody Weaver. We're gonna go to a commercial break, y'all. You're listening to number 347-202-0389. Press the number 1 to come in and talk to author Sean Wright and artist Melody Weaver. Go ahead and give him a shout out, y'all. But right now, we're gonna go to a music break. And who are we going to listen to? None other than Mel. What's your Instagram, Mel?
It's MELDAFEX. The letter C. Beast. Mel the Sexy Beast. I got to spell it because it's spelled weird. Yeah.
Mel the Sexy Beast. We're going to listen to one of her new songs. Go ahead. Satisfy you.
Thank you.
Everybody, that is your girl Melody Weaver, Mel the Sexy Beast on Instagram. Y'all look her up, and I will satisfy you again.
She
y'all,
killed that. She bodied that shit.
She did. She definitely did that. So Mel, we're gonna put Sean in the background for a minute, and we're gonna just talk to you. It's not just want to get up close and personal with you, and just kind of see what's on your mind when it comes to this music thing and what you got going, okay?
Well, what I got going on now, I'm working on my first album. Well, first official album. I haven't done one since I was 14 years old. You know, that's when I did my first one. But this one's going to be different. You know, I'm looking to build up my fan base more, you know, just get, you know, more people involved in what I'm doing. And it's going to be called Walking Contradiction. So, you know, I'll have that done. Should be for the end of the summer.
Cool. Tell me what Walking Contradiction is all about. What's a contradiction that you're trying to portray to your audience?
Okay, all right, you know, because basically I call myself a sexy beast. I call myself, you know, a walking contradiction because my personality, you know, as far as, you know, some people could see it, it could be a really big contradiction because there's one side of me that's really sweet and calm and, you know, just real nice and reserved. And then there's another side of me that's just like a monster, like crazy, you know. And,
whoa,
you know, I'm
crazy, like boiling rabbit crazy. I mean, what do you mean crazy?
Crazy, like the good kind of crazy, like for the most part, just like raw and like, I don't know, like that.
So how did you meet Sean? How did y'all hook up to be manager and artist partnership?
I met Sean when I was like 19, so that's, yeah, that's a couple of years ago. I ain't gonna tell my age, but yeah. I met him when I was.
Tell me the story about how y'all met. Like, where were you? Mm-hmm. What was going on? What made you like say, okay, this is who I want to rock with?
Yeah. I didn't know that we was going to have this type of, you know, relationship. Like, when I met him, he found me on Facebook. He was writing his book called A Gangster's Melody, and he posted it on my page. And I said, I don't know what this is, but it say my name, so it must be good. And so, you know, we hit it off from there. And then he asked me to be in his, promo video. So we was in my hometown at the time, Harrisburg. We both had lived there. And, you know, that's how we got hooked up. And then shortly after, like 2 years later, I believe, that's when I moved to Atlanta and he moved to Atlanta at the same time. And we just, you know, stayed connected.
Cool. So how do you like working with Sean? What is it like? What's a day in the life of working with the infamous author, mogul, Sean, right? Like, what is it like working with him?
He crazy. He's crazy. He's silly. He's funny. Like, I think that's, you know, the main thing. That's the main reason why I like working with him, because he's just funny. Like, it's always a good time around him, and I meet a lot of really good people through him. So, it's good.
So why did you choose Sean? You could have chose, you could be anywhere in the world right now, but you're right here with us.
Why? Well, I feel like we already had that trust, you know, because we had knew each other for a minute. We had that trust. And I just, like, I trust that he ain't trying to get over on me. Like, it's a lot of guys. honestly that say, you know, they promise. Like, I know a lot of female artists, you know, females who trying to do anything, and, like, they get a lot of men that come at them, you know, that say they want to help them out, but really they just trying to, you know, talk to them and, you know, do some other stuff. But, you know, he just, you know, like, we just got that friend, you know, manager, like, he look out for me. Like, it's just...
So you don't have any worries with him?
No what?
Any worries.
Right, I trust him.
Good, that's good. Trust is very important. Have you ever had situations before him that where, you know, you was trying to get your career off the ground and somebody, you know, tried to play you?
Man, I still had them type of situations. Like, I wonder if it's ever going to stop. Like, well, it was a guy who tried to manage me when I was, like, maybe, I think it's when I was 18, actually, and I remember, you know, he had some good stuff lined up for me, but I could tell what he really wanted, and, you know, that's why that relationship had to end.
Word, I can definitely dig it, but you really, you know, you seem to be on your grind, you seem to be very focused. Now, you know, I got to ask you this, the artists that come on here, especially those that rap, I got to get a freestyle from you. I got to. It's just customary. I hope that you're prepared for it. I know it's on the spot, but can I get a freestyle?
You can get something from me. You got a beat or...
Yeah, I hope you can rise a little bit. Let me see. Sadie, kick that panda joint.
I'm like a boss in LA. Stick on the mic like a nigga. I'm telling niggas, and I'm posted up like a nigga.
Reach you now.
Oh, well, where they can reach me is you can find me on Facebook, melody.weaver.1, or on my Instagram, meldasexybeast, meldasexybeast. SoundCloud is the same thing, meldasexybeast.
Word. Now we're going to get back to the manager and all of this, author Sean Wright. Come on back in, Sean.
What's going on, everybody?
Nothing much. We want to talk to you, man. Like, you're managing this great artist. You got books coming out. You got a film coming out. What is it that you're not doing?
Man, I'm not sleeping. I'm not sleeping at all.
No room for sleep. No room for sleep. Tell me about your book you got coming out.
I mean, I got a few books coming out. Like, I challenged myself to do, let me get them right. I challenged myself to put out 3 books before my birthday. My birthday is August 13th. And, you know, when I came into this game, like, I never wanted to be an author. And Giselle, I think me and you talked about this before. Like, I never wanted to be an author. I thought being an author was corny and boring. I'm a Leo, you know,
yeah.
Leos love the spotlight. And for me, like, I've toured with Devontae. I'll take that back. I've worked with Devontae from Jersey. I've been around Mary J. Blige. I've been around Mariah Carey. I've been around Jennifer Lopez. And from me transforming from a, you know, a ghostwriter or a musical profession to somebody who wants to be an author, I just thought it was corny. You know, if you look at any interview I've ever done, I always said I thought authors was corny. Compared, not the ability and what they do, it's just compared to the lifestyle I'm used to living. You know what I mean? I got.
And what lifestyle is that, Sean? What kind of lifestyle are you used to living?
I got into this business at like 15, 16 years old, and I was exposed to a lot. You know what I mean? You know, and a lot of people won't relate to this, but the old heads will. You know, you're talking about Run DMC, the Fat Boys, Kid and Play, Houdini, Salt and Pepper. We just talking about rappers at that point. Like, if I haven't been at their house, I've been around them. You know what I mean? When I was in high school, like a freshman in high school, I used to get driven, I should say, to school in Porsches and BMWs. And, well, not even BMWs. Them shits was a drug dealer's toy. I'm talking about celebrities, like things that the average drug dealer couldn't touch. I used to ride to school at John Adams High School in New York City in the back of a 2-door Porsche. I'm talking about I used to ride in the hatchback. You know what I mean? I'm short now. I used to be really short then. So I used to get dropped off by Prince Marky D. Shout out to Mark. From the Fat Boys in the back of a, you know, 928 S4 when they only made 100 of them. Mark had 2 of them. You know what I'm saying? So I came up a different way than the average person in South Jamaica, Queens. So I'm not really impressed with what I see today. Like, groupies don't turn me on. You know, hangers-on don't turn me on. I've been through that at such a young age that I'm immune to it now. You know what
right.
I mean? So, you know, Mark and my cousin Corey, his child, I cannot mention him. You know, Corey Rooney wrote and produced Real Love, Mary J. Blige, you know, Jennifer Lopez, Mark Anthony, and the list goes on and on. You know, I grew up under that era, so I watched the mistakes and I watched the professions. And I learned from them both. And, you know, I'm just blessed to have been schooled by, you know, 2 of the best people that I know personally in the industry. And I'm not saying that because Corey's my cousin. He ain't cousin by marriage. He's my first cousin. I'm saying I love Corey to death. And, you know, I mentioned something on Facebook the other day watching the whole Kelly Price Unsung. I remember there was a altercation with Kelly and her camp, which included her then husband Jeff Roll, and you know, me and my people. And I, you know, I had a Glock 40 in my waistline, and like she was about to get real, and I passed the gun off to my brother at the time, right before the police slammed me on the hood. So I've been through a lot, but to be where I am now, never thought I'd be an author, ever. And never thought I'd be a 6-time best-selling author. You know what I mean? And
right.
I gave up music, Giselle. Gave it up until I ran across Melody. And she, like, breathed that life back into me. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, like, good music still does exist. I had given up on it completely. You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to take her shine or nothing like that, but It's a million people in my inbox right now. I can screenshot you and say, I do this, I do that, and I do that, and I shut them down. I believe in Mel. And I believe in her vision.
That's right. Tears. That's what's up, though. That is really what's up. You got to find, you know, that one that you can see so much in, and you can see, you know, so much potential that, you know, it could literally change your life. I definitely agree with that. Now, about your upbringing, does that shape any of your books? Like, what's the most raw experience that you've had growing up?
The closest thing I could say is, like, a lot of people don't know this. Like, my family and friends know this. And I don't put this out for the public eye because, you know, perception's reality. So I don't want it to look like I'm glorifying it or that I'm something I'm not. I got caught in a bad situation where I was on trial, not what the textbooks say, whatever. I actually went to trial and I fought for my life, but I was facing 8 1/3 to 25 years in jail. And it was a bad decision, you know what I mean? I came home from the military. I went to the military when I was 17. I came home with 2 children and no way to support them. You know what I mean? And when I was in the military, it was my only job was to drive tanks and fire missiles 21 miles away and hit a target. There's nowhere in Queens, Brooklyn, Bronx, Manhattan, nowhere that skill is going to come into play.
Right.
So I came out of the military with 2 children and no way to support them. That check that came, that good, healthy check, tax-free check, that came every 2 weeks was no longer there. You know what I mean? And I went back to what I knew. I went back to the block that I grew up on, which was 142nd Street in South Jamaica, Queens. And, you know, I was denounced by some that said, they used to call me Soulja Boy, way before Soulja Boy. And they was like, nah, we're not going to let you get into this life, you know. And as a segue, I met a friend of mine. His name was Sean, but his street name, his 5% name was Life. And he's like, man, you up here every day, you might as well get some money. And as God is my witness, he gave me $1,000 worth of crack cocaine and about 20 minutes later, a truck driver driving an 18-wheeler came on the block and bought all of it. Every last, I mean, the whole thing.
Wow.
And I was hooked, you know what I mean? And, you know, I lost a lot from that. You know, I lost, family who looked at me as being the savior and you're supposed to be different. I just lost a lot because I felt that's what I had to do to support my children, you know? And when I got jammed up, they were looking to throw the book at me on my first offense. Well, it was really my second offense, but I don't condone drug dealing or nothing like that, but I don't persecute them either because that was me. And you do what you got to do to survive, and this is what we put ourselves in. You know what I mean? I got family members locked up. I got family members doing the wrong thing. Who am I to throw stones at a glass house? All I can do right now is try to build Just Right Publications, Just Right Entertainment, Just Right Models, Just Right TV, and give jobs and hope to those who don't have nothing else. I'm sorry I'm rambling, Giselle, but I got caught in my feelings real quick because that whole... the fact that I could have been still in jail right now, like, it hurts, but I smile.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Right. Now, what made you want to turn one of your books into film? Because you're working on a film. When is it expected to come out, and what can your audience expect?
Like I said, A Gangster's Melody was supposed to be... it was actually a film called A Diamond in the Rough. And And I spent my savings 3 times trying to, and I'm going to give you a bridge version because I can go forever and forever talking about how I blew money on a gangster's melody trying to make it a movie. I never wanted to be an author. I thought it was corny. You know, I'm a Leo. I like to, you know, we like to be the center of attention. And at the time, rappers is what it was. And I had done the rap thing, whether it be rapping out in front or being a road manager or being a ghostwriter. I had done the goofy thing at a young age, so it was already at my system. I wanted to elevate. And when I wrote A Gangster's Melody, like I said, it was originally called A Diamond in the Rough, and I went through so much money trying to get it done, it just didn't happen, so it sat there. And people who had read the whole script was like, this should be a book. And I'm like, man, I ain't trying to be no author. Like, authors don't got groupie. Like, I'm a Leo. Like, we like to be the center of attention. Like, hey, we, like, it's, that's boring to me. Like, I just came up, like, I just got finished dealing with Devontae Swing from Jodeci for, like, a year. It's nothing an author could do to match that. You know what I mean?
Right.
But what I did was I started leaking little pieces and bits of the script to the internet, and it was like blood in the Shark Tank. And I'd never do an interview without mentioning Brittany Williams, Brittany with an I, not a Y, as my people say. And Brittany Williams would tell me, Sean, this is a number one book, but don't do it like I did. Don't sign to a major. If you got the bread, start your own publishing company and sign to yourself, like how Jay-Z signed himself to Rockefeller. And because I respected her so much, I did that. And I never do an interview without mentioning Brittany Williams. You know what I'm saying? The author of Sugar Daddy and Daddy's House, you know, and so many other things. But I would have never did this if she would have not given me the go-ahead, because I didn't know nothing about this business. You know what I mean? I still was a music head, and I just knew how to put my story to pen and paper. And,
right.
You know, of course, years later, I came across you, and here we are.
Now tell everybody where they can get your book, where they can listen to, you know, anything, or tell everybody where to follow you. How can we keep up with you? You have so much going on, I can't really just pinpoint one thing. But tell everybody how they can get in touch with you.
I mean, you can get in touch with me, Facebook.com, and don't quote me on this because I think last thing I heard, I got like 9 Facebook pages, but I only know of 2. But it's, you know, Facebook.com/AuthorSeanWright, AuthorSeanWright. And let me just say this. I ain't going to throw nobody under the bus, but you say your show's about being real, right? So we're going to be real.
Okay.
My mother did not name me Arthur. Oh, Arthur. If you don't know what an author is, you should not be following me. You know, when I lived in Pennsylvania, I remember being at the bar, and a girl, you think it's funny, but it's real. I was at the bar, and you know, I was in the bar, and a woman walked in who was a Facebook fan, and she was like, "Oh shit, Arthur's in the house. Drink is on Arthur." And I'm like, "What the fuck are you doing? Like, my name is Sean." But she thought, like, there's a difference between Arthur, the name, and author, your profession. Somebody texted me the other day, and I will never put nobody on blast, but, you know, they was like, so, now mind you, me and this particular person have been talking for a while, and she's like, so, is Arthur your first name or Sean your first name? I just want to know what I should call you. And that was a total turnoff because, like, Arthur and Arthur. But when I noticed the common denominator, I knew where each person came from. But that's neither here nor there. Like, I love my fans, and, you know, it is what it is. But we hit, like, I had enough shine. Like, this whole thing, right, to me, Giselle, on some real shit, like, Melody Weaver is like, I touch gold. When I say gold, I'm not talking about record sales.
Right.
There have been two independent artists in my lifetime that I have touched and have touched me. One I'm not going to mention because he has no relevance at this point in my life.
Damn.
But you know, when I came across Melody, it was a no-brainer. You know, and I'm going to leave you guys with this because I'm probably going over, and I don't know. I haven't been keeping track of time. But there's something called it. Some people have it, and some people don't. You can't be born with it. You know what I mean? You can't gain. I take that back. You can be born with it. You can't gain it later on in life. Melody Weaver is today's, and she hates this comparison. She's our Lauryn Hill. She raps. She sings. She produces. She fucking makes furniture. I'm not lying. But what she doesn't want to be is a sex symbol. I try to get Melody in all sorts of magazines. She will not do it, and I fucking love her and respect her for that. She makes being a manager so easy. We bump heads because there's a 20-year generation gap. But at the end of the day, I respect her vision, and she respects my wisdom. Melody could have fired me a long time ago. I could have cut her as a client a long time ago. But there's something that's keeping us there. You understand what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, we both know that success only comes before work in a dictionary. And that's really what it boils down to.
That's right. Y'all heard it right here. Author Sean Wright and artist, the next Lauryn Hill, Melody Weaver. Y'all, thank you guys so much for coming on. Definitely don't be a stranger to Queenside. I want you guys to come back, Melody. Definitely, you have new songs, new tracks to hit. Send me so I can get you played. I don't mind doing anything to help you guys. I thank you so much for coming on Queenside, and we're gonna keep up with you guys in just a little bit, okay?
I gotta say one thing before we go. I know we gotta go. Shout out to Tasha and NRC because if it wasn't for NR Surfer Entertainment, I'd have never met Jazzy. And, man, Jazzy, I love you.
Oh, I love you, too. And I definitely love my NRC family. That's NRC Entertainment out of Atlanta, Georgia. They are definitely doing their thing straight from the NYC. You guys definitely pick all of them out, also Sean Wright and artist Melody Weaver. Make sure you hit them up on Facebook and Instagram. Y'all have a good night.
All right. Bye.
Y'all, we are wrapping.